This is a podcast from Minute Media.
It would be a Wolves fan, eh?
On goes Paul. People might yet win it here for Wolves. Blast in the shot. What a goal!
Good evening, Wolves fans. It's nice to have you back after what seems like 2 months, not 2 weeks, since that Newcastle defeat. We're back with the match preview tonight, previewing Sunday's fixture away to Burnley. Tonight I've got with me Rich and Kim. I'll come to you first, Kim. How was your Easter break?
Quiet, actually. One of those where I'm just suffering with hay fever at the moment, so I'm a bit like, ugh. Yeah, not ideal. And to be honest, I haven't been raring to go back for football again. But I think as the days have gone on, I'm starting to get a little bit more optimistic about Sunday. Not too optimistic, still not fully there. But I think by Sunday, 9 a.m. on the train, I think, yeah, we're gonna do it. So fingers crossed.
It was great that Jesus Vallejo didn't make his return at Easter, wasn't it, Rich? I saw you being sort of Easter hunting with the daughter. How was your Easter break, Rich?
Yeah, it was very Easter egg hunt heavy. One thing for any parents, I know Posh Tom in the Fancast has got a little one now. He'll learn this in a couple of years' time. You don't do one Easter egg hunt. You do about an hour's worth of Easter egg hunts. And I'd love to say it doesn't get boring, but it does. So like Kim, I was feeling a bit detached from a lot of the football in the last week, even though there were some great games on at the weekend over the Easter bank holiday. But it's only been in like the last like 10 minutes speaking to you guys again that I started to feel that buzz again. And I've started to get that hope and optimism that you get from being a football fan. And I know it's all going to come crashing down again at 4 p.m. Sunday.
That Newcastle defeat really ruined the whole pre-holiday vibe, didn't it? I mean, that defeat was tough to take, wasn't it, Kim?
Yeah, I think it was just the overall performance as well, wasn't it? It was just like the whole team were just, just so under par. So average, with all those players that we had out, like Neves, Raul, Pedence, it really showed, and I think we really struggled. Like, I think the whole team really struggled, actually. And I think we needed that break. Like, I feel not just the players, I feel like the fans needed to just, like, calm down, reset. And then, obviously, I think Burnley's probably not the ideal Burnley away anyway. It's not the ideal game to come back to, but I'd like to think that they're refreshed and ready to go. Especially you'd like to think that some of the players could be coming back now. Pedence, Raul, probably not. Neves, not sure about Neves. But yeah, it was disappointing on the whole, and really because Newcastle, obviously they're on a good run of form, but I don't think they haven't really got anything to play for, where you'd like to think that our players should be in the mindset that, we have got something to play for and they should want to get into Europe, but it didn't feel like that. It did feel like we kind of just, rolled over, to be honest.
Game week 34 arrives tomorrow night. Burnley are playing Southampton. Currently, they're leading 1-0 at the time of recording, which is a big boost for their task at avoiding relegation. Three of the big matches this weekend, which will have a big impact on Wolves. 12:30 on Saturday, Arsenal at home to Man United. 3 o'clock, Leicester at home to Aston Villa. And then Sunday, same time as Wolves, Chelsea at home to West Ham. Which is the game that you most... Where is your eyes most peeled to on this weekend, Rich?
The Arsenal-Man U games appealing from a neutral perspective, seeing how well they do in terms of Wolves, I guess European hopes aside, just because of you know, the embarrassment Man United had against Liverpool. So it'll be interesting to sort of see how they come out. But I think the Chelsea West Ham one, again, for similar reasons as the Man United defeat, you know, Chelsea keeled over last night against Arsenal. And West Ham, although, yeah, they've got the European games, which we'll touch on to in a bit, in terms of business end fixtures, that they'll be after this one. And David Moyes has got like a funny knack of sensing a bit of weakness in teams, and, you know, really putting a nail in the coffin if they're showing a bit of weakness. So yeah, even though my eyes are going to be firmly fixed on the Burnley game, I'm keen to see what happens in the Chelsea West Ham as well at the same time.
Kim, was you like myself last night disappointed that Arsenal picked up 3 points at Chelsea?
Yeah, I was so convinced that with Arsenal's form in the last two, I thought there's no way that Chelsea won't win this. Then starting to watch the game, I was like, Chelsea just aren't in this. From the start, I just thought this isn't going to go well. I think they had a few defenders that were out, Rudiger was out, and they just looked all over the place defensively. I think it was disappointing, but I think on reflection, I think the two teams that we need to like slip up are Man United and West Ham. I think realistically, they're the two teams that we really need them to drop points this weekend. And you like to think that Chelsea, after losing against Arsenal, they're going to want to put it right against West Ham. And obviously Man United just look absolutely horrendous, but at the same time, you wouldn't be surprised. It would just be typical, wouldn't it, for Man United then to beat Arsenal this weekend. So I think the main thing is we've just got to make sure that we get the win. And although it's difficult to not look at other results, like, we know what could happen. All the teams could slip up, and then we probably will slip up as well. So yeah, it's one of those.
Sunday, we're away to Burnley, 2 o'clock. The last time we faced up against Burnley was, well, it was a forgettable 0-0 draw at home, wasn't it, Rich? It was a stereotypical Adama Traore fixture where he had everything but effectiveness. He was entertaining, frustrating, lively, quiet. If we were still playing there, we wouldn't have won that game, would we?
No, we could have played that. Yeah, you're right. We could have played that game three times over, and it still would have been 0-0. You know, very reminiscent of, I guess, previous fixtures we've had against Burnley, where we can't quite figure out how to beat them or how to really open them up. And I was looking back at that game, and you're right about Traore. It almost sort of summed up his Wolves career in a nutshell, or his season, definitely this year, that he was the only one who looked like creating something, but he was the only one who was missing these chances and really not having that output. And it kind of summed up what he was all about, unfortunately. You say, I think it's going to be interesting to sort of see how things have changed a few months on, especially if, you know, Jimenez is back and Podence is back as well, to hopefully, you know, unlock a, let's be honest, a not great Burnley side.
It's amazing the dynamic since Bruno's come in. When you look at those stats there, Wolves finished that game with 66% possession of the actual match. I mean, it just shows how much of a park the buzz stink the game at Burnley play that night, wasn't it, Kim?
Yeah, I think even if you just look to the game on Sunday, despite obviously Sean Dyche leaving, I can't imagine there will be any change up in style of play. Now, I've just looked at the lineup tonight, and they're still 4-4-2. You know, it's just like a standard 4-4-2 that you'd expect from Burnley. Two physical strikers in Weghorst and Rodriguez. Got a bit of flair with Maxwell Cornet. But the rest is just a bit average, isn't it? But we know what will happen, you know. And as they'd not just do it to Wolves, they do it to a lot of teams. They are strong at home. So I think we've really got to be on our game. And, you know, really, I think boss the midfield, which I don't believe that Neves is going to be fit. He's out, isn't he? But just by judging by the pictures on Instagram, I don't know why, it's just given me a little bit of hope that he might suddenly be back before the end of the season. But, yeah, I think we really need a strong centre midfield to really control the game and really almost just get in behind their defence as well. We really need to use our pace, I think, to our advantage.
Some of my memories from that home fixture against Burnley was, you mentioned him a moment ago, Kim, Maxwell Cornet. He may have been one of the worst players I've seen in the flesh for a good few years that night, but definitely a danger, is he?
Well, he can be. He scored some good goals. I think he's been out injured, hasn't he, for the last... He's only just come back. But when he first started at Burnley, from an FPL perspective, he was tearing it up. Yeah, and he did have some good finishes. But I think, didn't he start as a left back?
Yeah, he played left. Yeah, he was a left back. He's essentially been converted into a winger slash forward, essentially.
Almost like Stephen Ward-esque, isn't it, really?
You mentioned Stephen Ward there, and that Burnley lineup, like you mentioned, Kim, it reminds me of Wolves when we got relegated under Terry Connor. That a lot of that team is Championship standard, isn't it? You got like players like Tarkowski, who's obviously been trying to manoeuvre a move from the club. Obviously, he's going to run down his contract. Maxwell Cornet, you'd think him and Dwight McNeil will have suitors come the summer transfer window, but. Apart from Nick Pope, then the rest is pretty much Championship standard, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And you could imagine that if they did were to go down and pretty much sold one to two players, I wouldn't be convinced that that team would even finish in the top two of the Championship. Like, I think it's that basic and that mediocre that, as you say, I think maybe Tarkowski will go on a free to a Premier League team. Obviously, Pope's a decent goalie, and Cornet probably, but the rest of them, yeah, like Jay Rodriguez, he feels like he's been around for ages, and no doubt he'll probably score against us, Ex Albion and all that, but yeah, on paper, there shouldn't be much to be worried about, but I just, as a Wolves fan, you know how this goes.
Yeah, I was going to say, even worse, it's one thing look at the starting lineup, but it's look at the bench as well. You know, like Hennessy, obviously he's a backup goalkeeper, but the likes of, you know, if you still got Phil Bardsley knocking around your team in 2022, that's not really a great sign, is it? You know, there's a couple of slightly washed up players in that lineup, and I completely buy into what you're saying, Dan. It feels like Wolves of a few years ago, where there's just been not enough rejuvenation in that team over a period of time. Like, it feels like that. I know it's not, but that's like the same team that Burnley got promoted with in my head. Like, it's not like all of those players have like dramatically increased the quality. So like Stephen Ward got promoted with them way back when, 4 or 5 years ago. Charlie Taylor's probably not a significant improvement on where Stephen Ward was at that point. If you know what I mean. So like, apart from maybe you say like Cornet's definitely like seems to be a bit of a step up from, you know, Aaron Lennon, who's, you know, slightly past it now, but there's not been markable improvements to that team in a long time.
And to be fair, it'll be interesting to see the direction they're going to head in with a new manager at the end of the season, because if they stay up, it's like, what direction are they heading? Like with that team, they almost need a Championship-esque Tony Pulis type manager to try and just eke every little inch of blood, sweat and tears out of them, whereas maybe they're just hoping that they stay up and then can almost rejuvenate their team, maybe. I can see that's what they're looking to do, that they're hoping to rejuvenate and maybe motivate the players, which is clearly happening at the moment now Dyche has left, because I think they're going to win probably two in a row. But then it's like, then what happens? It's like, are they going to completely change their style? Or like, are they just going to carry on buying the same sort of Championship, mid-lower, the odd, decent gem bring in? Or, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Not that I'm that too interested, it's Burnley, but, yeah, it will be slightly interesting.
I'll tell you what it screams of. It screams of Stoke the year they got relegated. Like that team and this one, you look at on paper and you look at the quality there's knocking about the Championship, and they'd run rings around them if they're not.
I think you look at that Burnley squad compared to the Stoke one. Burnley haven't got the sort of what I'd suspect big wage earners that Stoke had.
Yeah, yeah.
And there isn't really players that strike me that, oh, if they keep hold of him, they'll easily come straight back up, like Kim mentioned.
Hmm.
They've had some balmy managers linked to they're taking over the next run of the team. I think Gennaro Gattuso was one, and our favourite Nuno was actually in the running at one point, but I couldn't see Nuno going there, could you?
No, not without some healthy investment.
He must be desperate if he took that job.
Yeah.
Form guide going into the game. We've won three of our last five. Burnley have won one, drawn one of their last five before tonight, where they're leading 1-0 at home to Southampton. Like we mentioned earlier, if we are going to make a serious go at this, trying to book a place in Europe this season, whether it's the Conference League or Europa League, we've got to win Sunday, haven't we?
Yeah. I mean, we were chatting about it before the show. When you look at Wolves' last six games, the fact we got Chelsea, Man City and Liverpool, they're going to be really tough to get any points out. So our remaining three games, we need maximum points for it to have any chance of finishing seventh and or above. Let's be honest, it's a must win for Wolves on Saturday if we have any hopes of finishing seventh.
Let's have a look at our lineup there. Obviously, from the team that faced Newcastle last time, Luke Cundelino started in midfield with João Moutinho, with a front three of Trinquel, Silva and Hwang. I think at least four out of those five could easily be swapped come Sunday, couldn't they, Kim?
Yeah, I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because despite Fabio, obviously he didn't have a greatest game against Newcastle. The game before he was immense, although again he didn't score, and that's what you've got to start to look at. You know, he hasn't scored this season, albeit he hasn't had loads of opportunities, but I don't think he's done quite enough to merit a start on Sunday, unless for some unknown reason, and I can't imagine this happening, that Bruno decides to start with Raul and Silver up top, but I can't imagine that will happen. I'd imagine it'll be probably Hwang Hee-chan will probably come out for Pedence, with Raul in. I'd actually probably start Neto, but I'm not sure in terms of fitness if he's ready to start a game yet. And then I'd imagine Dendonka will come back in for Kundal. Who else? I think I'd like to think that Ait Nouri would probably start over Marcel, maybe, or switch Johnny to left back and then maybe bring in Semedo. Maybe it needs that extra bit of attacking threat, because I think the fullbacks are going to be really vital, that we need to really push them on to sort of pin Burnley back. So I think fullbacks and centre midfield area, we really need to make sure we take a grip of the game. So, yeah, I think I'd go Johnny and Semedo in terms of fullbacks. Keep centre backs as they are. Bring in Dendonka, and then Fabio Silva, Raul, and probably Neto. But I would imagine probably Trincao will start.
What about you, Rich? I did read on a Facebook group yesterday, I'm not sure if there's any truth in this, but apparently Max Kilman went over on his ankle during the open training session yesterday
and wasn't able to
finish the session. So if Max was out, who's coming in for you defensively? Sace or Toti? He's been sort of in the media saying that he wants to get back in the side.
You'd imagine it's going to be Sace.
Yeah, I can see it being Sace and just going for that experience pro. But yeah, seeing Toti kind of pop up, I think, was interesting in terms of, you know, he doesn't want to just go on the lone conveyor belt or whatever. I'd be half tempted to go for a midfield three, just because time and time again, we have been dominated and struggled against Burnley in the midfield and having those extra bodies.
If we get dominated by Burnley, though, in centre midfield with Jack Cork and Brownhill, even with two...
I know, it shouldn't happen, should it? which is my worry. I think if Dendonka's fit and fully fit, I think he'll probably go for the 3-4-3, just so we actually have a midfielder on the bench. Same as we did against Villa and weren't able to do it against Newcastle, but just in case something happens to one of them. I think he'll probably start Raul. And if Podence is fit, you've got to start Podence, because we don't create if Podence doesn't play. So yeah, I'd probably go for the front three of whoever I just said. We'll go Trincao, Jimenez, and Podence up front. And I definitely agree with Kim. Bring in Semedo. He's that driving force down the wing for us. And at the same time, Johnny's done nothing to lose his spot. But I think he'd give us something interesting on that left side, and slightly different dimension to Marcel against a team like Burnley.
Well, I don't think he'll go for three midfield, because I think the only option then we've got is to play Kundal again. And I think, although he didn't do horrendously bad against Newcastle, I don't think he did enough to keep his place necessarily. So I can't imagine. It may be if we had Moutinho, Neves and Dendonka, all three available, then I could see him doing that. But I think, to be honest, I think it'll be Moutinho and Dendonka in centre midfield.
Yeah.
I totally agree with what you just said in regards to Poland. If Poland is fit, he's got to start, hasn't he? But I'm sort of edging towards the desire of having three in midfield on Sunday. If they're going 4-4-2, I think we just need to make the most of our wing-backs getting forward. But I want wing-backs who are going to put balls in the box. That's where I think Ryan Aitnori needs to start on Sunday, with Semedo back at right wing-back. I think if we can get delivery into the box to Silva and Raul for the majority of the game, I think we'll have enough for them to at least outscore in regards to having to keep a clean sheet.
I think we all agree that Marcel shouldn't be starting. We need
that. Yeah.
I don't want to be disparaging to Marcel, because I don't think he's done anything wrong in recent games. I just prefer Aitnori's intent and ambition for just wanting to get forward a lot more.
And I don't think Marcel is loads better defensively than Aitnori either. I think he's slightly better, but I think with the attacking output that Marcel gives, apart from that one ball that he put in where Villa, was it Ming scored a quit in his own net?
Young, yes.
He doesn't really bring a lot to the table, whereas, to be fair, although Johnny traditionally hasn't, at least he's popped up with some goals and gets in the box. And obviously we know about Aitnori and Semedo. So I'm not too bothered as long as Marcel doesn't start. Because again, and I don't like his positioning either. He's not the best at man-marking, should we say. So
looking at the season stats between the two sides at the moment, if only we'd have got this, you know, at least just half of what Burnley have drew this season instead of the 13 games that we've lost. I mean, we've only lost one game less than Burnley all season, and we're in a relegation battle. That our lack of just getting draws in certain games. I mean, you look at the two Arsenal games and the West Ham away game. All three of them should have been a draw. I mean, the way we capitulated against Arsenal away was massively disappointing, and the reason why we're eighth now, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. It's the boom or bust of Wolves this season. It's kind of the reason we're in the position we're in the fact that actually it's always better to, you know, win one and lose one than it is to draw two. However, just a couple of those losses, particularly against the teams who we'd, you know, we probably should have beaten Spurs in the home fixture, and we lost.
Yeah, you look at the first three fixtures of the season, like,
yeah,
all those should have been draws at minimum, shouldn't they?
Yeah, you look back on it, and that's, you know, 3 points. A, 3 points for Wolves could have got extra, but it's also 3 points across teams who we're kind of half competing against as well. And, you know, when we look back at the season as a whole, I think those three at the start of the season are probably the biggest alarm bells. But it kind of, I think, highlights the lack of resilience Wolves can sometimes have if they score but then concede. which isn't something we've been really used to, because under Nuno, we were, that, you know, that was something we were really strong on in terms of, if when we went ahead, we had really strong game management and we didn't tend to, you know, lose games after going ahead. Whereas I think this year we've dropped a decent amount of points from, you know, winning positions.
I think one of the positives from this season, on top of our 11 clean sheets, is our away record is quite impressive, isn't it, Kim?
Yeah. And you always feel like, I don't know what it is, but maybe it's just the pressure of playing at home, that we often always put in performances that are better, and we just feel like we're almost set up better to be sort of an away attacking team. I think at home, I don't know if it's just the expectation levels, especially when you're playing your Brightons, your Norwiches, your Burnleys. It's just like we just turn up expecting to win, even though as Wolves fans you should know that these games aren't easy. And these teams, they're not awful, albeit a few of them are, like your Watfords, fair enough. But teams like Brighton, I don't feel like a lot of Wolves fans have like even ever watched these teams, because we should never think that in any game, any Premier League game, we can just turn up and roll over. So maybe it's to do with well, I think that's a big factor anyway. I don't know what you guys think.
What about you, Rich?
I think it's tricky in terms of kind of home fixtures. And I think we've said before, sometimes it doesn't feel like we get up for games when it's like a Saturday, 3 o'clock or whatever, or, you know, it's not one of those marquee games for reasons I can't quite put my finger on it. You know, there's the age old adage that Wolves are not great at breaking down a defensive team, but find me a half decent team who is. That's why you're in that position. I think we just need to be that bit more clinical and be a bit more adventurous when we're at home. Like, you know, that's been a bit of a sticking point for me, that, you know, sometimes, you know, it's been that we've played Marseille, or it's not kind of quite, we've not quite found that rhythm, whereas away from home we are a bit more efficient in our chances and getting those victories, where it's like, oh, we've got a 2-1 victory and we've ground it out, and either we can't seem to replicate that at home and grind out a game, or we can't really put a team to the sword consistently like we did against, you know, like we did against Watford, or even against Everton, when, you know, we dominated the first half, but we can't seem to do that for, you know, 12 home games a season, or whatever we kind of need it to be.
So with game week 34, forget Burnley and Wolves, just pick me three teams this weekend who are going to pick up 3 points, Kim.
You're on the spot now, aren't you? Well, Man City, Liverpool, goes without saying. I think both of them will slip up. And we shall go... Shall we say Wolves to be positive? I'll go Wolves, but I also think that Chelsea will beat West Ham. That's cool.
I'll come to you for your Wolves score prediction in a bit, but what about three teams for you, Rich? Are you going with Man City and Liverpool as well?
I'm going to go Man City. I'm going to go... I've got a feeling the Liverpool game might be a draw for reasons unknown. I'll go Man City... Brighton, because they seem to kind of pick up wins on a regular enough basis, and Southampton losing at the moment. And yeah, I'll go Wolves as well.
I think Liverpool, I'm going to go disagree with you just slightly on that. I think Liverpool are going to absolutely tank Everton this weekend. Man City, Watford, I think Man City will turn over Watford. I think, and this goes to my point that I made at work earlier, I think Leicester will be Aston Villa on Saturday, and what I said off air, I still don't think Aston Villa are safe from relegation this season. I haven't got the bottom half the league table, which is quite poor of me, but Burnley winning tonight, Villa are still not safe, neither are Leeds, but I think Villa could still get dragged into this, and I think it would make it even more entertaining, which Sky would love on the last game of the season, that Liverpool are at home to Wolves, Man City have got Villa last game of the season. Having some sort of Steven Gerrard blockbuster description of him needing to like get a point to stay up and Man City to win the league or Liverpool to win the league. It's got entertainment written all over it. I think if Sky can pull some strings, I still think Villa aren't safe.
Well, one of the things we were saying is that Burnley in their last six remaining games, apart from today, that they play Villa twice. They've essentially got a double header against them as well as Newcastle. So there's a big chance Burnley could, you know, quite literally get a relegation six-pointer against Villa. It's just whether, you know, they can, you know, Leeds can slide, you know, can Aston Villa slide back behind three other teams at this point in the season? Because the issue is, as you say, it's like as tight, you know, for Wolves to be able to get up into sixth, it's almost the same kind of levels as Villa to get relegated.
I think if you look at Villa recently, I just think a lot of their players seem to already be on the beach.
And defensively, they're horrendous.
Because they're not a very good football team.
And they're not very good, Richard. I agree.
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
would you lot take a Leicester win to drag Villa into it this after this weekend, even though Leicester are now going to be creeping up on us?
Just because I think will creep up on us. I'll take my chances.
I'll take our chances. Leicester could still theoretically finish above us. I don't really want to get into that mentality where we should be looking over our shoulder. We should be looking at the teams above us at the moment. But with the three games, Burnley, Brighton and Norwich, if we can't get 9 points from them, then we don't really deserve to finish in Europe, do we? That's the be-all and end-all of it for me. And that's why I'll gladly accept Villa getting tanked on Saturday, and hopefully them starting to get a bit nervous and jittery come the end of the season. Burnley are just gone 2-0 up home to Southampton. Collins with a goal scorer. It's a big game for Burnley as much as us on Sunday, because they really need the points. I think I read a tweet, I'm not sure how sort of in-depth knowledge of sort of celebrity relationships, but someone did make the tweet that it's absolutely mad for ASAP Rocky to cheat on Rihanna, but it's more insane to sack Sean Dodge.
I thought we were going to go down a Johnny Depp Amber Heard path for a second. I was kind of going to have to stop calling the fan cast lawyers, but it was...
I haven't got a split finger on that pulse.
let's not shit the bed on this occasion and move on with the show. It was very odd timing, it felt like, to get rid of Dyche, because it's like, well, if you're going to get rid of him now, you could have got rid of him in December and given a manager at least a transfer window. You know, it was almost
remedy worked so far. They're getting results now.
Yeah, I mean, so you can only kind of conclude from, you know, them winning at the moment and the previous game that clearly there'd been an absolute breakdown between the players and the manager. Like, you know, not to kind of, I guess, cast aspersions, but the fact they seem to be happier and playing better now than they had done 3 weeks ago sort of sums it up, really, which is a bit of a shame considering, I guess, how high Sean Dyche's stock has been in the last couple of years, and it seems to, you know, I don't quite know where he'll go next after this.
Stoke.
Yeah.
He's got Stoke written all over him. I can't think who else is a more Brexit team than Burnley.
West Brom.
Nah, he's too big for West Brom. They're having Alan Buckley manager sooner rather than later. Their local rival soon will be Warsaw. That's how bad that team are. And I will bloody love it.
I was going to say, I
just love that banner. I just absolutely love that banner.
You were professionally offended by that banner, Kim.
Oh my God. How many messages do you want on a banner? And how many exclamation marks do you want on a banner? And the little text, like people can read it.
You can't knock them. They've put some money together. They've obviously subcontracted like all the grammar and punctuation out, because, I mean, from a design point of view, we had everything that a fan wanted to say, but there was just too much going on, wasn't there? Just
why don't you just have board. One key message? Like, you've let us down again.
Yeah, on a bath sheet, on a bed sheet.
Yeah.
In black permanent marker.
Do you prefer, when it comes to protest banners like this, do you prefer them if they're on a bed sheet and they're hand done, or if they've put, I was going to say, a bit of money behind it and gone professional?
Nah, bed sheet.
Bed sheet all day.
Because at least you can get one key message. They've clearly put quite a lot of money and branding into that, but they haven't got anyone who has some kind of brain with, like,
just someone's like, been on, someone, look, someone's downloaded Canva and they've given it a go and have just tried to work it out. Problem is, I agree with you, because basically on the finance principle that they've put way too much effort into some of this really crap. With the bed sheet, though, I always think, what if someone walks in the room while you're doing it? You know,
and you haven't even like fully finished your sentence.
You've got the Sharpies out, and you'd go in round, try, you know, West Brom forever or whatever. It's like, love, what are you doing? It's time to go to bed. I need to finish my banner for the weekend. You know, it's let's be honest.
But you've got to question the sort of men that would do a bed sheet protest. Probably haven't got to tell him it's time for bed.
Little Johnny can't go to sleep because Dad's. You know, it's wonderfully tin pot banners, and you know, I feel that we could probably dedicate a whole show if we needed to. But I think Wolves have peaked with the "You've let us down again." I don't think it can get better than that, because as Kim would say, it's on brand. It's just perfect. You sum up everything.
That wasn't even on brand though, was it? Because it didn't have. It was just a white bed sheet, but it was like one message. And it was effective, whereas that is just maybe on brand, but hundreds of messages going on. No.
The thing that tickles me still the most about the "You've let us down again" protest is the fact that you went to the playoff match with that bed sheet.
Ready
just in case.
Yeah,
you can't knock the pessimism of Wolves fans. It's
you know what, though? Maybe that's what we should do. Well, maybe that is what I'm going to do now when I'm off this podcast, ready for Burnley. Basically, recreate that and say, "You've let us down again." Ready for Sunday?
Stu's already got it prepared.
Oh, that's honestly, Kim, if you do that, that can be the cover picture on our Twitter page.
Yeah,
you know what? I'm going to Photoshop your head on that bloke later.
No, I couldn't do that to myself. No, that's negative, isn't it? It's too negative.
Thanks to everyone who's tuning in tonight. 7 fans from Brazil have just commented. If just drop us a quick like in the bottom left, it's free. We'll enjoy it. And you're giving yourself exercise, burning off calories by clicking that like button. And subscribe while you're there if you're not already. Akash Damodaran, hope I pronounced that right, has asked, "Good evening, lads." Kim's a lad, to be fair. "Any chance Pedro Neto starts against Burnley?" Because none of us mentioned him earlier.
I did say I would start him, but I don't know his fitness levels like Bruno does. So if he's a fully fit Pedro Neto starts alongside Pedence and Raul, I don't think there's any question that that's our best front three. But I don't probably think he will again. I think he'll plan to come on with sort of 20 minutes to go again, I'd imagine.
Yeah, same. My heart would love him to start. I almost just think he just needs to sit out the rest of the season, having 20 minutes, half an hour here and there off the bench, and he gets a full preseason under his belt, just for his own benefit, to be honest, because I don't see a point. Let's just try and rush him back, because we've still got enough players who can play his position that it's not so much of a come down for me, especially if his match fitness isn't 100%. I'd rather we, you know, give him a little bit to keep himself ticking over between now and end of May, and then he gets a proper pre-season under his belt and he can, you know, show everyone what he's truly about next year.
Alex Fredlegs commented saying he's just placed a like from the US. Howdy, Alex. Thanks for the like. Hope you're enjoying the show. Be sure to join us again. Let's do a quick score prediction. I'll come to you first, Rich. Burnley Wolves, 2 o'clock on Sunday. Score prediction.
I'm going to go for an optimistic 2-1 Wolves win.
7, the Brazil fan has predicted 3-0 Wolves. That would be lovely. It'd be a lovely, lovely away day, wouldn't that be, Kim? What's your score prediction?
I don't think it's going to be that easy, to be honest. I am going to go 1-0 with a Willy Bolly header from a corner. I think it'll be that tight. I think it'll be that close.
Literally that close. I'm going to go with a 1-0 Wolves win as well. I'm trying to be positive. I'm hoping for a 1-0 Wolves win. I believe it's going to be a 1-0 Wolves win. And then hopefully we can push on to at least nick a 7th place finish this season, because I don't care whether it's Barcelona or Partizan Belgrade on a Thursday night, because Barcelona, I'm just, no one wants to go to Barcelona. We've already been to Barcelona. We did that for Espanyol. We want to go somewhere different. So hopefully we'll win 1-0 on Sunday. Akash, you don't need to apologise to Kim. She fully well knows that she's a proper. She's probably the biggest lad in the group.
Lads, definitely.
Guys, we're going to have ourselves a quick quiz section before closing the show. And obviously, as always, this quiz round is sponsored by Pixel Yeti Media. Be sure to look at them for all your web design, marketing and branding needs. And thanks to Pixel Yeti Media for continuing to look after us. It's been a long-term sponsor and we couldn't do it without you. This week's first question is a guess the player round. So for the audio listeners, as I keep saying, try and watch us on YouTube every now and again. Name this player and I'll come to you first, Rich. Actually, before you give me your answers, I've both take a look. So you're looking at...
Okay.
I was going to give the position away then. So obviously we've got a Wolves player from the... 2014-15
season,
mate.
Yeah.
Watthouse sponsor. He's actually got a base layer shirt on there, like Stu wears to bed every night.
Now, I've got a couple of players that I'm knocking about. I'm not going to go with my first guess because I think he's a bit bulkier than what I the first place. I'm going to go for Steers.
Richard Stearman.
Yeah.
Kim, do you want to have a guess?
Mine is, I think it might be Joe Mason.
Both solid guesses. If anyone can quickly answer in the comments section before I reveal the answer, you've got 5 seconds. The correct answer of the guess the player round on this week's Fancast quiz is Tommy Rowe.
Oh,
that same one was close.
Both had similar builds. I mean, Richard Stearman, I think you may have seen like the... I was going to say you can see the number, but I did hide the number, Rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tommy Rowe.
I was going off the... Yeah.
Left wing back, attempted midfield, had never really hit the heights at Wolves. This one's a bit of a sudden death question. It's pretty much you'll answer first, Rich. Kim second and third, fourth, until one of you gets it wrong. 8 years ago today, Wolves beat Leyton Orient 3-1 to seal the League One Championship title. Name our squad that day.
Okay, so if I'm up first, I'll go for Carl Hakimi.
Carl Hakimi.
We've got to do it in order.
No, just until one of you is wrong. So Rich is first, correct with Carl Hakimi.
Danny Bath
is correct.
I will go for Michael Jacobs.
Michael Jacobs is correct.
I shall go James Henry.
James Henry was one of our three goal scorers that day.
Sacco.
Bakary Sacco scored our second goal that day, correct?
I'll go Dicko.
Niwa Dicko is correct.
So I'm literally just p- pinning out with formation now. Kevin McDonald.
Kevin McDonald picked up a yellow card that day. Was in the starting 11.
Dave Edwards.
Dangerous Dave is correct.
Crikey, we're running out now, aren't we? So we said one centre-half. Now, I'll go for Richard Stearman.
Richard Stearman scored our first goal that day.
Yeah. Oh, well in, lad.
Bullet header.
I shall go... Matt Doherty
was an unused sub that day.
So, Sam Ricketts.
Sam Ricketts, captain, I believe, on the day. Correct?
That was going to be my next one. Fuming. Scott Goulburn.
Scott Goulburn is correct. I believe there's just one more starting lineup player left now.
Have we said Jack Price?
Jack Price was the last starting lineup member.
Oh my God. I'm struggling now.
So we're on to subs now, aren't we?
Correct.
Oh. Lee Griffiths.
Oh, Kim, unfortunately, you've lost the quiz. Lee Griffiths was gone in the January, I believe, of that season. That's why we replaced him with Nua Dicko, didn't we? And you could have had Leon Clark, Lee Evans, Liam McAlinden, Ethan Ebanks-Landell, and our sub goalie that day, Aaron McCary.
There we go.
We did have one question from friend of the fan cast, Todd. If the rumours of a pre-season in the US are true, who from the fan cast will be making the trip over?
Therefore, you, Kim.
If I win,
depending on where it is.
If I win the lottery,
you need to see if Jody can pull some strings.
We'll see about that. But
what, 1 week at Orlando? Was it Disney Orlando?
Where is it? We are. It hasn't been announced exactly where.
No,
is it?
It's not been announced yet. I was told that the FC series that was being bound about on Twitter the other day, we're not involved in that particular tournament. I would love to go to America if there's a possibility, but I'd also love to go to Benidorm for Wolves. So I'll see where I can go, and if it's available, I'll try and make the trip.
I don't think that they'll announce it, will they, until we know what we do in Europe-wise. Because won't we have qualifiers around then, if we did make it? And I know it's a big if, but...
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember pre-COVID when they used to get announced, like when we...
It's a couple of weeks before the season starts, isn't it, the qualifiers?
Yeah,
they've probably got things penciled in, haven't they? That them just like you just said, them reluctant to pull the trigger until they know where we're going to be in the summer and how long our actual pre-season holiday is. Just have one more look at the running before Sunday's game away to Burnley. Manchester United and West Ham have to be the two teams that we're looking to catch. I think it's between Tottenham and Arsenal, isn't it, for the fourth place, and they've got to play each other third from last game of the season away at Tottenham. But Man United, they seem to be in dire straits at the moment, don't they, Rich?
Yeah, I think the performance against Liverpool was just it was embarrassing, just because it sort of highlighted the gap between the two of them. And yeah, they've announced the new manager today. We started in the summer, but just so many of those players just aren't fit for purpose and stuff like that. So it's going to be a real mentality thing for those Man United players in terms of actually how much they genuinely want it, because, they should be getting at least, similar to us, definitely 9 points. And then they'll want to try and get a win out of at least Arsenal and Chelsea as well. But... Just don't see it happening. West Ham's got to trickier running than I you know, anticipated. It's all right me saying that, you know, we've got Chelsea, City and Liverpool still to come up. They've got two Europa League ties, Chelsea, Arsenal and Man City to navigate. That's...
Do you know what's funny? They've got pretty similar to us, haven't they? Games in terms of they've got Brighton, they've got Norwich, we've and Man City and Chelsea, and we've got those as well. So they've got the same running as us, plus the Europa League games, which I'm guessing they'll, if they win the Europa League, obviously they're in the Champions League. So why wouldn't they obviously prioritise that competition? So
yeah, I did force those two Europa League fixtures into that running for West Ham, because I know obviously we did it quite regular a couple of seasons ago, but Frankfurt away on the Thursday night and then Norwich away on the Sunday. That Norwich fixture is not ideal for them.
No, it's got banana skin like written all over it, hasn't it?
Chelsea lost at home to Arsenal last night, so Chelsea are going to be itching to get 3 points this Sunday at home to West Ham. Man United away to Arsenal. Arsenal really need the points to keep in line with Tottenham, who you'd expect to get at least a draw at Brentford. But I mean, that's another tough fixture in this business end of the season running that we're in. But Burnley away on Sunday, big game for Wolves. So big.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, all we can kind of do as Wolves fans, or as a club anyway, is, you know, we can't do anything about West Ham's games or Man United's. We just need to focus on making sure we get as many points as possible out of these remaining six fixtures. And I said whether 9 points will be enough, or if somehow we can get 12 points. And, you know, even if we lose to Burnley and then somehow beat Brighton, Chelsea, Norwich and Liverpool, I'd take that all day. But it's going to be a question on totals at the moment, and it's going to be interesting to say. So if you've got Spurs and Arsenal still got to play each other, Arsenal and Man U have still got to play each other as well, so there's a couple of head-to-heads that might drag people in one way or another as well.
I think we all mentioned it before the show that the last 2 weeks have been massively deflating, and it was hard to get ourselves up for tonight's episode, but seeing those fixtures, the belief is still there, isn't it, guys?
Yeah.
Do you know what? This doing the show has made me absolutely, I'm bricking it now, Sunday. I was kind of just like, yeah, we're going to lose, whatever sort of thing. And now you guys have just got me like, I feel a bit stressed about it. I'm sure I'll be fine once I get on the train, have a few beers sound. But right now, I feel a bit stressed.
I'm looking forward to it. Like, I said, like, we've kind of got nothing to lose in this race because we're already in the position we're in, aren't we?
No, but it's the hope that kills you. I'll be good if you don't make it now.
I think if we go back to the start of the season and go, you know what, we finished, and say, would you take an 8th place finish? Go, yeah. And yeah, there's going to be trials and tribulations along the way, and every team's going to have their ifs and buts. Like, I bet West Ham, despite, you know, being in the semi-final of a European competition, will still feel that they could be competing for 4th place. And, you know, I reckon I could probably find us, you know, the 9 points that we'd need as well at this stage of the season. But yeah, I don't know. I'm optimistic still at the moment. This podcast has helped me kind of get up for it. I reckon by 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock on Sunday, I'll be in Kim's position now. And
let's be honest, any team can beat any team. We're looking at these run-ins, but who knows? Like, we could lose to Norwich. Man United could lose to Brentford at home. Like, it just depends. It depends how each team handles the pressure, I guess. I'm not sure. Although fixtures do play a part, I think it's who can hold their nerve, and obviously we're in a position where we're chasing, so we can't afford to slip up.
Imagine, feel like in that mindset we've got less to lose than these teams above us, yeah. Specifically Man United.
Yeah.
Me personally, if I was a Man United fan, I'd let's just finish out of the Europe this season. I don't know how much of financial damage that would cause a club that of the size of Man United. don't finish in Europe this season, make sure Erik ten Hag finishes in the top four next season. Otherwise, he's not doing a good enough job.
Do you think, though, that they want to get in the Europa League? They said previous seasons they're not interested in
this. Is what I mean. They don't need it, do they? I think it's more of a detriment to them over a 38 league game season. I think if you can get Erik ten Hag to start building a side which has got no sort of European distractions and can just focus on getting as high as they can in the Premier League next season, I still think, and I'm telling you now, guys, this is where I'm injecting all this hope that I've got instilled in me. 4 o'clock on Sunday, we're going to be on the same points as West Ham. We're going to be 2 points behind Man United with a game in hand.
I think you're going to be right. There we go. Positiveness.
Drink it in. We're going on another European tour, guys. And on that note, it's good night for me, Rich and Kim. We'll be back on Sunday night, maybe Monday, pending on the result and availability of the fellow fancasters. Thanks again for everyone that's tuned in. Continue to support the Wolves Fancaster, part of the 90min.com network. Adios.
It would be a Wolves fan, eh?